Alright, time for another DoNotGuide.com video presentation. So, there's this video on exploring antinatalism podcast by Madi Hari. I think that's correct. I don't know. Anyway, I don't like it. So, I don't like a lot of things some F-lists are saying, you know, and so, you know, I don't consider it a group or a club. So people are allowed to do whatever the hell they want. But I just wanted to make sort of my position sort of clear, I suppose. So a little bit of history. I started making videos about this idea that life is fundamentally corrupt, okay, and that we're losing money. It's not a for-profit enterprise. It's at a huge cost, and that the planet would be a better thing in the universe if it didn't have tortured brains on it. And, you know, just it's a difficult subject to broach because, you know, it's this very negative conclusion about just about everything. It's like calling everything people believe in or like rape. You know, you're basically saying, look, you're raping your pets, you're raping your food, you're rape, you're all rapey all over the place. You're bad, you're nasty. And the point is the argument is that you aren't the nasty, okay? It's the construction that's nasty. Organisms with eyes to see the food with teeth to chew the food with, you know, with a sense of smell to, you know, go find the prey. I mean, there's just nothing about our construction that is in any way something you would put in the category of intelligent. So I'll get to that in another video, because I started using things like unintelligent design. That's basically the theory, that we are victims of an unintelligent design. We're playing a foolish game to think we're winning, that holding up our gold medal, okay, and being happy is just a lie, because you're just denying all the broken legs it took to make your gold medal. You know, that these superficial pleasures are at this insane price. And then I extended that to making arguments about the natural environment and the fact that the attrition is insane, and that making arguments like it's child molestation and murder, and you're befriending it. You know, you're calling it Mother Nature. You're calling Freddy Krueger, you know, Mother Nature. You're eating dinner with it, you know, without sticking a fork in its eye. So lots of analogies to the fact that the fundamental system has no brain, okay, but it has the power of creation. And so the problem is it created things, systems, mechanisms that are insidiously cruel and wasteful of torture. The most precious thing in the universe is sort of the argument. The precious here, the precious is the torture. And it can't be justified if you're going to have all this expense. You can't buy this product at this price. So the price the biosphere pays for every word I'm speaking right now, every word I'm speaking is insanely expensive. Every little moment you spend living your life, the expense, the horror, the suffering, the, you know, being dissolved in the stomach of an organism, you know, a snake slowly suffocating you to death and consuming you, all these things are horrid. And that's the price being paid for anything you enjoy. And then on top of that, you know, I'm making this argument to people who will also be victims, are right now victims, have watched their kids die, have seen things that are just, you know, watched their parents die in some horribly wasteful, ugly way, have seen it personally too, have it affected them personally. And you're almost like saying, well, I shouldn't have to make this argument, right? I mean, we all should agree this isn't good enough. And the road to something good enough seems implausibly and impossibly long and far away, where we can create some sort of mechanism of human or mental function in an environment that is cheap enough to just to, for it to be justified, where every one of the happy moments isn't at an insane price. All right, so that's a long story of how what I started saying. So I thought it was pretty bold. I was a little bit afraid to even broach the subject because the fact is it's a commentary saying it must be stopped. You're defining it as a crime. You're defining it as murder. You're defining it as the molestation and murder of children, essentially. You almost can't get a darker crime. And so it has the implication that, yeah, you're going to send the ATF. You're going to send things with guns and bullets to stop it. You're not going to send a negotiator, you know. it's got to be stopped. You don't send a negotiator to the rapist and say, oh, come on, can't we talk about this? And you don't really need to do this, do you? I mean, yeah, bullshit. So there is a statement in it that is so incompatible with every function of civilization in terms of preserving it and nationalism and racism and all the stuff. It's opposed to everything people cherish, you know, about their existence in a very kind of direct way. There's like no way to avoid the implication that the statement is it's got to be stopped. And there really is no way to stop it except to stop it. You can't partially stop it. You either stop it, you either plug the hole in the dam or you don't. Doing it halfway won't work. So that's what I did on YouTube. And then a guy showed up, Derived Energy, with the Benatar book. Okay, so never heard of Benatar, never heard of the philosophy of antinatalism. And so he started talking about antinatalism. And I'm like, okay, well, that's I don't like the word. I said it right from the very beginning. I don't really want to call myself an antinatalist because the word natalism didn't even fit for me with the word procreation. If I was going to call it something, I'd call it anti-procreation. Now, that's not very musical either. You really don't want to write it on your banner. So I had some pointlessly silly conversations about, what the fact that the word just doesn't sound very heroic. But the concept was, I thought at first that his avocation was in the same sense, in the same sense that sentient brains are the things being exploited and abused, and that there's no consent, and that it's wrong, and all that stuff. But he didn't apply it at all to the natural world. So for him, it was just a subject about human beings hurting human beings, and it wasn't a subject about the nature of a DNA molecule enslaving organisms to a game that can't be won. That you can only create losers. For every victory you have, there's somebody else who doesn't have the victory. For every time you fuck your trophy wife, somebody else isn't. So you fuck somebody else's life to have your life. All those kind of arguments. But so obviously for me, narrowing it to the human condition was a non-starter, because from my perception, my understanding as an intelligence, the ocean of suffering is in nature, and the 6 ounces is in the human condition. It's a tiny percentage of the collective brains being tormented and tortured and manipulated by existence, the game of existence. So I separated myself, and that's how Effelism was born. Is I took 10 seconds to think of what the hell I'm going to call it, and just said, okay, I'm just going to call myself something else, whatever. It's just reversing the word life. And I said, well, that's good enough for me. And it sounds a little bit like evil. So I like that. It's a little bit like it's taking that edge and saying, yes, there's something fundamental about this philosophy in the sense that it's black and white here. We're really talking about good and evil, right and wrong. And if you're going to call yourself right, then I'm going to call myself wrong. Okay, there's no way I'm part of your club. I'm not. I in no way endorse the child molestation and murder. Your Freddy Krueger view of the world is unacceptable, and I reject it in every fucking way. Every single thing about you, okay, in which you're fighting for life, I'm not fighting for that. I'm fighting for mercy and to rescue victims that you tied to the slave ship of being a person, okay, in a silly civilization that cares about a bunch of selling hamburgers. You're superficial, disgusting, pukeable. It's so disgusting, you know, what the average human lives for. So, yes, I'm opposite of that. If you're good, I'm evil. No doubt about it. you know, it's the contrast is that clear. And so that's how I thought of it, okay, is that I clearly want to make this clear distinction that I don't want some nothing solution. I don't want finger painting. I don't want, you know, you either do it right or you don't do it at all. The fact is that saving the glass of water is okay, great, you saved a glass of water. You know, we're talking about blood here, right? It's an ocean of blood versus a glass of blood, right? And so, okay, you've solved this little problem. But it's like, the scale is, it just doesn't, it can't feel like a victory. Because you lost so fucking much, okay? It's like going into Nazi Germany and saving one Jew. It's just, you can't feel great about that, you know? And that's probably a good example for prefacing this video, because this guy's basically saying, if you can't have a consensus, you can't do anything. You can't stop the Nazis. So unless everybody's for killing the Nazis, you can't kill the Nazis. It just doesn't go. It's a non-starter as an argument. I mean, that's not how human politics as a fact works. It's not how reality works. Reality is there's winners and losers, and you have to do what winning takes, and winning takes doing things that are just damn ugly and unpleasant and nasty. And that's just a fact. And I'm not for doing it any nastier than necessary, but the fact is the conflict is going to be real, and you can't evade it with this mush. That I'm going to stop the rapist by not passing any laws against it. I can't impose on them. So I'm just going to go through that as this is a good test of the depth of people's understanding and frankly their commitment to giving a damn about actually solving the problem or actually rescuing the victims. And it just shows how weak, and it's just some sort of academic club they belong to. They're really not going to cure anything. They're just going to have parties and eat cake and talk about what heroes they are. And it's just a denial of what the subject actually needs, which is this understanding that this is an argument about intelligence over stupidity, ultimately. This is atheism against God. I mean, it's that fundamental. You have to. Okay, recognize that we are the most intelligent thing on earth and we are responsible, and whatever happens, it's on us. And we have every right to fight for the intelligent solution and not acquiesce to a non-solution that's comforting. Not acting is acting. Okay, pretending. I'm not going to make the decision because I have an escape key, you know, that says I don't have to be responsible is just bullshit. The outcome is going to be the outcome, and all you have is your intelligence to act on, and if you don't act on it, you're just pissing on the molested children. You're just pissing on the victims by denying the fact that you know what the right answer is. You know what? There's really no counter argument. There's nothing else to grab onto but the simple conclusion that yes, there's no cost essentially too high. I mean, you can't create a cost higher than the cost being paid. Okay, you can't do it any worse than the insidious system You can't stop it with more violence than is taking place right now. All right. So any solution you apply can't be worse than a non-solution. All right. That's part of the argument anyway. So I don't like the way people are framing this argument. I don't like the way they're talking about it as if they're denying that, you know, they're pretending that because we can't make a red button, that the ultimate truth is that's the conclusion. That's the only way we win. And so you have to explain that, you know, there's a procedure you go through as human beings. And yes, we're still in the talking phase because there is no red button. And so you have disabled me, okay? Physical reality has disabled me from acting on my judgment. But I would be denying the truth if I said I'm not going to act on it, because I know you haven't provided a counter-argument. So the only counter-argument is I don't want to, or God says, or unicorns might come to the rescue. I mean, they don't have a counter-argument. And as an intelligence, I know if there's no counter-argument, I can't go with the worst possible decision. I have to go with my best judgment. So it's an easy question to answer. What do I do if I did have the power? And it's a clear explanation of the fact that that's being a Nephilist, is understanding there is no hope. There is no, there's no way out of the dilemma of the fact that we just make a mess and clean up a tiny portion of it. The mess is our need, our want, our desire to evade negative. We're running from a whip that doesn't have to exist. We don't have to have the whippable flesh, or we don't have to have the whip, but I mean, neither one needs to exist. And so none of this needs to happen. And that gets to the Benatarian asymmetry argument, which this guy also mocks as being too complicated. And the consent argument that he argues is too abstract. You know, these are powerful arguments if put in the correct context and explained. The fact that we are just, you know, we're never chasing anything good. We're just chasing the negative. We're chasing poverty. You know, we're running from poverty. We're running from sickness. We're running from disability. We're running from the negatives. We're not running towards a positive. And that's the asymmetry. The whole game is made out of negative motivations. Okay, the power of the negative is the only power that exists. And there is no, in fact, nothing we can do that can be purely positive. You have to have the hunger before you can have the satisfaction. You have to have the deficit before you can have anything positive. The dent has to be made. You have to push into the earth before the earth can push back. So it's all a negative function. Anyway, that's just getting to the point of the philosophy and the fact that there isn't any, there's a road to a future. So the road is the red button has to be built, and the red button has to be built by a civilization. It has to be built by humankind. It's not going to be built by an individual, because clearly if any individual could build such a thing, okay, they would have already acted on it, right? So that's the hidden truth. Now, everything about our civilization is irrational. We have all these unsustainable things we do, the whole global warming things, lots of irrationality. And one of the biggest irrationalities is not recognizing that if humankind is going to survive, it has to outlaw conflict, because the power of technology will make conflict impossible. We will kill each other with our drones. We will, in fact, poison the environment. So the only way any of this could ever survive is that it has to be in the future within restraint. That is, all people have to be educated, and all people have to be educated to understand that violence isn't a legitimate answer, okay? And the rules of, let's just say that the rule of intelligent counter-argument, you can't tell somebody they can't do something by dogma. You have to explain why they can't do something. You have to actually demonstrate that it causes more harm than good. So, for example, I could argue, although I understand people who do the catch and release crap with animals, have good intentions and they think they're saving something, I can make an intelligent argument that no, you're just causing more suffering. You're just perpetuating deprived and deprecated existence. You're forcing animals to live in shit. And on top of that, you're doing surgery to them to make them fit for this eating shit and living in shit and dying shittily. So you're not doing the animals any favor. So maybe you're doing your conscience some kind of good, like you're thinking, well, yeah, I'm doing all this nice work for these poor little animals, when no, you're just perpetuating their torture. You're just chaining them, you're doing surgery on them to chain them to the boat that's going to sink. You know, you're not chaining them to some kind of paradise. You're just chaining them to more horrible deprivation, harsh, brutal, anxious, difficult struggle. Work. You're just working them to death. Now, the argument can be made, all right? And they have to counter that with some sort of something besides, but it's not nice to not wake up. Or something like that. I don't know what they could say. I mean, obviously, you just can't make that's the dilemma of the subject. That's just a fact that you can't make these arguments. You can't say if I gave somebody never wake up berries, okay, that I have in fact harmed them. because what you're going to describe as the harm is going to be, well, they had a bunch of unsatisfied needs. Well, yeah, they don't have many more, do they? So I've done them a favor, haven't I? Because they weren't going to do anything. They weren't going to cure cancer, and they weren't going to make the world a better place, and they weren't going to do all of this bullshit. They weren't going to rescue anything. So it's until you can show how they were rescuers, then they were going to stop a whole bunch of torture somewhere. It's going to be a hard argument to make that their existence is at all necessary. And yes, the peripheral harm of crying widows and kids, yes, I'm not discounting that at all. I'm saying that in this example, all you have to do is demonstrate that it'll disrupt too many other lives, so you have to give never wake up berries to the whole family. Anyway, all right, so that really isn't this subject, but I mean, it's just the subject of none of this has anything to do with anything more than understanding how decisive the argument is. That there's no way you can understand nature for what it is, that is the facts of evolution, and understand the fact of the horrible mayhem, the egregious crimes being committed against all of these immature animals that will be destroyed brutally, and not recognize some responsibility for that. And say, well, yes, if I have the opportunity to protect them from it, to stop them from being abused, I have to press the button. I'm not worth it. Nobody's worth it. I mean, nobody's given me an argument that anybody is worth that torture. So, of course, I have to use my best judgment. I don't have a choice. Because what's at stake is insanely important. I mean, there's just no way to say, I fully understand the dilemma, and I'm not going to do anything. It's like people, again, these weren't arguments with anything like consensus, but we had to make a decision to have a civil war to preserve the Union. We had to go to war, twice, in Europe, over, you could argue, sometimes just absolute lies and bullshit. In the case of like Vietnam, totally unnecessary. The Korean War, I mean, wars that should have never dragged on as long as they should have, all this other bullshit. And nobody gets to say by consensus. There's no consensus rule anywhere that everybody has to agree or we don't go rescue the Jews. I mean, what a pile of shit. That isn't how reality works. So you do have to realize that this is going to be a battleground, and it's going to be a battleground over veganism, and it's going to be a battleground over religion. And the huge negative is that the liberal parties that are trying, that generally speaking were protecting us from the religious fanatics and talking about being intelligent, have now become imbeciles and think importing a bunch of morons into the country with a bunch of fanatic religious beliefs is somehow going to help our civilization. when no, it's going to degrade it substantially. That's the religion winning is the Republican end game. But these is going to be real wars. I mean, there's no way to get around it, right? I mean, if 60% of the population becomes vegan, do you think that 60% is just going to say, well, it's okay if the other people still rape and torture? Yes, you can molest your children, you can torture the little animals, it's okay, fine, just keep doing it. Of course not. So, I mean, these battlegrounds are going to be long before we get to the final cause. But the final cause, is my opinion, again, is the ocean. Okay, so the final cause, we could argue about how to handle this, how to preserve or take care of this glass of water, you know. But it's just practice to get to the real game. So we're going to have to survive the future anyway to be a player in doing anything constructive. So the argument is yes, human civilization must be sustained at least long enough for it to have the technology to address the actual problem, the actual elephant in the China shop, not the fucking fruit fly. You know, chasing fruit flies is just good practice for shooing elephants. Something like that, anyway. All right, so let's get to the video. So, I mean, this is, you know, there's a little contention here just because, you know, I don't like having to have infighting among ephelists, but, I mean, clearly there's a ton of infighting among antinatalists, so I guess some of this was inevitable. I'm just going to argue that, just as it says right here in front of me, right? Okay, not a single-player game. Too expensive, not your money. Okay? It's not a complicated philosophy. It's really not. I mean, it's really simple. And if you don't, you know, I'm saying an ephelist is somebody who recognizes these little truths about evolution, DNA molecule. It's just making robots. It's just building machines to survive. And they survive in different ways by scheming. And that's what a brain is for, is scheming, okay, an advantage. That's what we have it. It's because we can scheme an advantage with it. And the point is what should our brains be devoted to? Well, because it's not a single-player game, our brains have to be devoted to the welfare of the collective, not the welfare of one individual. I can't justify torturing a biosphere to breathe. Can't defend it. I'm not doing anything good enough for that. So everything I'm saying about the human condition, I mean, somebody could give me a you can live 2,000 years and you get to win the Masters and Wimbledon and the World Soccer Cup, and you get to be the biggest hero that ever existed for thousands of years. You get to be everything. That's just so fucking wonderful. And all it'll cost is we give cancer to a kid. No big deal, right? Dies in 2 years. So you get 2,000 years of fun, and the kid gets 2 years of cancer therapy. Do I take the deal? I'm saying I don't even have to think about it. I mean, that's not even a glimmer of hope that I'm going to sit there and feel I have the right to impose the torture. So I'm just saying this isn't a complicated argument. It's once you acknowledge the cost, once you acknowledge the meat grinder, okay, once you acknowledge that it is an ocean of blood, I mean, it's an ocean of torture, but there's no fucking decision. There's nothing to say. It's over, okay? There's no way there's any contrivance of what we could possibly do. Oh, we can calculate pi to 4 million places. You know, that justifies torture? No, there's not a fucking thing we could possibly do that could justify the imposition of all of that wasted suffering, all of those little dead octopuses. I mean, you know, the zillions of organisms being enslaved to this silly life cycle bullshit, this circle of death. Crap. Anyway. So, again, I don't want to come up with a third category for what I'm going to call myself. I don't really mind a rename. Ephelism is kind of weird and all that kind of shit. But, you know, it's a little too indirect, maybe. Anti-life, you know, is probably a truer statement. But yeah, I have, you know, I really hate to waste any serious time actually contemplating the name of something, because you're almost saying, well, people are going to have to be smart enough that names don't mean a shit. You know, we could call the club Shit Crap Vomit and it still shouldn't matter. If, you know, it just shouldn't matter what you call it. It should matter what it is. Okay. There should be no book cover bad enough to stop you from reading a good book. All right. So let's start playing some video. I think there's a video here. I hit the play button, and we see what happens. The little line's moving. Ah, there we go.
What?
Okay, I don't really care for the songing stuff, right? Sing songs.
Suffering. Okay, tell about not pressing the... Yeah. Does your... What, if anything, does your reaction to pressing or not pressing the big red button to end all life of suffering? Tell about your attitudes towards antinatalism.
Right, okay, so again, this is sort of so irrelevant to antinatalism in a sense, because you're just really saying, okay, this is just about first human procreation, right? And the argument is that all you have to do is have human procreation below that sustainable level. So you can still have human procreation, it's just that it has to be low enough that you're not replacing population. The death rate is higher than the birth rate. And so in some respect, anything, you know, all you need is 3 out of 4 people to choose not to have kids, or 2 out of 4 not to have kids. And the inevitable consequences is the extermination of its existence. Okay. So, you know, you don't need a big red button if you have a low enough birth rate to fix the human problem.
The answer depends on whether or not you have everybody's permission to do so.
So again, why would that be the argument? The argument in democracies is whether or not you have 50% or a supermajority of 65%. You know, some things we don't do. We can't even, you know, you can't even rewrite the Constitution until you get that 65% majority. And so, and we don't do any rewriting. I mean, it happens so rarely that you can get those kind of majorities. So the fact is, you know, if you put it on the ballot to do this or to do that or to do this, you know, you're not going to get these 95 or 99% kind of reactions. There's always going to be somebody who's going to say, no, don't, you know, there's going to be rapists who are going to say, don't outlaw rape. So I mean, it's just consensus is an idiotic. It's never a real thing. Okay, there's no such thing as consensus in human reality. And so it's a silly thing to argue. So explain to me what percentage of the human population has to believe before you would allow them, okay, to act on what they believe. How many people have to be for fighting the Nazis for us to go fight the Nazis, okay? I mean, how many people have to be for it? And that's what you're, you know, how many people have to say, yes, we must do this, and we'll impose a draft, and we'll impose a huge, you know, infrastructure changes and lifestyle changes, and all kinds of stuff will be disrupted because the cause is worth it. So what percentage do you think you have to be at before you have a legitimate cause? And that's what this argument's really about. And does it mean that if the other side you're fighting in a war has a higher population? So do I have to include the Germans in the, you know, if I'm going to do this democratically, do I have to include the Japanese and the Germans in the democracy that's going to decide whether we have to have a war? You know, I don't think they're going to vote for it. I mean, if you have 10 million people who believe in Mohammed here, and you have 1 million who believe in Darwin over here, do the 1 million have a right to fight the 10 million? I mean, aren't they outnumbered? Didn't they lose the democracy? You know, oh, they're not citizens. Oh, I get it. They're not believers, so they don't count. Their votes don't count. I mean, it just gets too ridiculous to talk about it. You know, that we have a social contract, okay? but the social contract isn't based on anything meaningful beyond, well, we have no choice. Because if we just start shooting each other because we don't like each other, then we won't be able to do anything as a civilization. So to have a civilization, you have to have some rules, and you have to have some willingness to play by the rules. And everybody should agree to that, except in the case where, well, the society decided that it's going to rape my daughter. Well, I'm not going to go along. I don't care what the democracy said, okay? Fuck you, democracy. Or you're going to throw my daughter in a volcano. And I know it's not for any good reason. It's just because her name starts with an L or something. Well, fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. I'm certainly going to war with that civilization. So I mean, this is so much more complicated than some bullshit contrast between, a cause and the fact that exercising, doing it, stopping the Nazis requires you to invest an awful lot in it, doesn't it, right? For the number of people we saved, we killed 10 people to save one.
If you don't have the permission of others, then pressing the button would indicate your very strong paternalism. You'd be prepared to ignore or even override other people's wishes in order to
achieve... So it's not paternalism. It's just whether or not you understand that there really isn't any rational alternative. There's no hope of a rational alternative. You're stuck with this awful thing. Again, I would hit the button if the button said Gary gets tortured for 10,000 years. I'd still hit the button. All right. This isn't about paternalism. This isn't about you saying I'm better than you, blah, 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 some sort of bullshit, or my needs are more important than yours, or any of that kind of crap. All right. It's about the fact that there's this horrible fucking violence taking place, and somehow people think it's legal, and it's not. It's not right. It's wrong. It's factually bad. And if nobody stops it, then they're part of the reason why it exists. So if you have the opportunity to stop it, I don't see how you have any alternative, but to steer the bus into the brick wall or whatever the analogy is.
See what you see as a good end. A clarification is in order here. Your motivation to press the button could, of course, be different, at least in theory. You could hate humankind or sentient beings or all organisms enough to want them dead, even though you believe that they'll...
So again, to reduce the conversation to some notion that this is about feelings. No. It's about intelligence and reasoning. It's about what is the absolute truth. And somebody has to invest in it. You can't invest in things you know aren't the truth. And I know for a fact, okay, that there's no gray here. There's either success or complete failure. There's nothing in between.
Lives are good. Or you could just like pressing colored buttons, whatever the consequences. These are not, however, the motivations that the big red button thought experiment addresses.
So in my opinion, okay, so in your use of this analogy or this thought experiment, okay, and it's just like the trolley problem and other thought experiments, and it creates a real dilemma in that there's no way to obey rules and be able to say, okay, I can do this by some methodical, civilized method, and that's why we have to have wars. Is because you can't solve the problem with some methodical little bullshit. It's not going to work.
It's about ending life to end suffering. Moving on, if you do have the permission of others to press the button, then doing so would indicate your compassion and altruism. You would be prepared to end your own life and the lives of others you care for.
So again, there's no, and if everybody agrees to it, it's a moot point. you're not doing anything. You're irrelevant because the other people are going to do it. They're already doing it. They're already pressing it. So what the fuck are you talking about? It doesn't even mean anything.
Take the chain of suffering. Just to emphasize the point, in neither case would you be a bloodthirsty monster. You'd be the benevolent fulfiller of everything.
Okay, so I think you are a monster if you don't say you're going to press the button. I think you are. Okay, because there's no way you're saying there's a possibility that the child molestation and murder has a purpose, that it's functioning somehow, that somehow it's worth it. All right, but you're not going to provide any argument explaining how the fuck it's worth it, or how you have a right to impose it on that individual and not everybody, how they have to be the slave because you have to be the master. You can't explain it away. So I'd say you are being fundamentally corrupt in your understanding of what's at stake to sit there and say there's some possibility that all that animal torture is worth it. No, there's no possibility.
Everyone's dreams, if you have their permission, or a well-meaning wannabe benefactor, if you don't have it. Obviously, in the latter case, you could also be seen to take a few rather bold liberties, playing God a little, what have you.
Playing God a little. Again, we're playing God every moment of your fucking life. You're playing God. Every single interaction. Just me making this video, I'm playing God because somebody will interpret it this way. Somebody will interpret it that way. Somebody will do this. Somebody will do that. Every fucking goddamn thing, every breath we take is playing fucking goddamn God. The butterfly effect, so to speak. We're causing hurricanes. We're doing this. We're doing every fucking thing we do. Okay, so don't pretend that we don't play God every minute of our lives. We are going to create better and worse conditions in the rest of the world. Every single moment, we're causing effects.
Anyway, the real question was elsewhere. Would your decision to press or not to press the button tell something about your possible antinatalism?
Yeah, I don't see how it makes any sense to compare a subject that seems that most of the subject is somehow about a human condition and almost none of the subject. It's only one page of Benatar's book where animals are the subject. Okay, so he's conceding the existence of the subject, but it's given the weight of, oh yeah, I just concede that this is a real subject, but I'm not going to talk about it in this book. At least not talk about it in the same way or with any, I don't know how to say, you know, with any attention. Okay, it's fundamentally the same issue. They are slaves. We are slaves. Slaves to my parents' silly notions. I mean, it's all imposed slavery, all right? And because some people enjoy it, okay, is irrelevant to what it is.
I think it would, and in some non-obvious ways too. To start where antinatalism is at the strongest, we have the cases of not pressing due to lack of consent.
Okay, so lack of consent. So again, so if 80% of the people say it's wrong to eat meat, they're not supposed to do anything. They can't pass any laws because they're somehow violating some fact that it might be those people know what they're doing. You know, I have to assume that they know what they're doing. My philosophy is equal to their philosophy. I have to believe that. And again, I can't believe it. And we don't believe it. It's just an absolute fact that the majority right now has passed laws against rape and passed laws against pointless animal cruelty and passed laws against, you know, certain acts, okay, because they're just overtly, clearly, it's not possible they can be justified.
And pressing with consent. These are the spaces that I personally occupy.
Which means nothing. So you're just saying that no, you wouldn't press the button, and no, you wouldn't even press it if you had a 90% majority. That's still not good enough.
Not pressing without permission makes me a sickeningly liberal anti-nerd.
Yeah, well, whatever the word is. So you're describing, you're self-describing as basically saying as sickeningly stupid. So I don't know, what am I supposed to say, okay? Obviously, the concept of liberal only means something good when liberal is fighting people, putting people in prison. It's like a union only is a good thing when it's fighting a corrupt monopoly trying to, you know, enslave people. It's not a good thing when all they're really trying to do is extort the society into giving them more money than they're worth. Then all of a sudden a union is a menace. When they're not fighting for fairness, but they're fighting to be owners, okay, that's when, yeah, it's two different things. It's fundamentally different. So the idea that you would call yourself a liberal, and, you know, even in the world, even using the word sickening, yeah, I'm sick of liberals. I'm sick of ignorant liberals. I'm sick of stupid liberals. I'm sick of people who don't have any goddamn principles calling themselves something when they're not really that something, okay? They're not. They're pretending, you know, but they're not really there because the depth of their passion is this thin. It's an academic statement. It's not a fucking, I'll put my welfare on the line for it statement. Liberals who aren't willing to fight aren't useful. Aren't willing to sacrifice anything aren't useful.
At least. If people want to have children as well as to keep on living, who am I to interfere with?
That's not the subject. The subject is they're raping and molesting. It's a molestation of the child. There's no doubt about it, okay? There's no way to turn it into anything else. They're using the child as a slave to their emotional inadequacies, their problems with finding purpose and function in their life, and they have to enslave something to be their pet, okay? They don't have a right to do that. It's a violation of the other organism's right to say, fuck you, I don't want to play a retarded, stupid, kill things, eat things game. I don't want to be one of these little monsters, with a blood footprint. I have no interest in having a blood footprint. So, you know, fuck you, do it to yourself. Don't do it to me. So this isn't a subject about letting people benignly have sex in their own bedroom. They're obviously having sex with the animals they're eating and torturing. They're raping a lot of stuff here. So it's a conversation about should they be allowed to rape. And you're basically saying, well, how's it my business? I won't rape, but they can rape all they want. That's a sickeningly useless liberal.
Their choices. When I'm really frustrated about these tendencies in people, I take comfort in the thought that they are getting what they deserve.
So even that doesn't make any sense. But, you know, again, another argument where, yes, I mean, it'd be great if they got what they deserve. The point is their kids aren't going to get what they deserve. So you're just missing the whole point. You're stopping their antinatalism. You're not stopping their life for no reason. The only thing you're interested in is stopping them from making a victim.
Pain. If they want it, they can have it. Hush, Matti, that's terrible of you.
Yes, it's nonsense. It's just, it is sickening, frankly, sickening.
And it doesn't solve the problem for those yet unborn.
It directly doesn't address the problem that the person you're saying has all these fucking rights is a fucking molester.
Sigh, I know. Pressing the button eagerly with universal permission makes me a truly uncomplicated...
It makes you, yes, truly nothing. It makes you almost as irrelevant as a, you know, a piece of paper with the word good on it. That's how good you are, okay? You're a piece of paper with the word good on it. It's just meaningless. I don't even understand how, you know, you've all consented, you've all built the red button, and now you're all agreed to that it should be pressed, and what, you're the volunteer? Oh, I'll volunteer to do what any one of you would do. I mean, what's the difference who presses the fucking button then? Pressing the button isn't a challenge. You've already agreed to press it. This is the easy part. Once you've all agreed to press it, that's the easy part. What the fuck? It's not even a subject. The subject is, what happens if one of you, you have 10 people, and one of you doesn't want to press the red button? And he has a gun. What are you going to do? Are you going to fight to press it, or are you just going to say, okay, I guess we can't press the button, you know? I veto his idea, he vetoes my idea. You know, we're stuck at a stalemate. How are we going to fix the stalemate? Because a stalemate means he wins. He wins. No decision is his decision. The status quo wins. If you want the status quo not to win, you have to beat both things. You have to fight for the victory.
Antinatalist. If people want to stop making children, good for them, good for all. The end result, if they stay the course, will be the demise of humankind.
So again, the real demise of humankind doesn't require that draconian a solution. Frankly, all the civilized countries were already on the road to extinction. So we know the only thing stopping extinction is the fact that the dumbasses are breeding in preposterous excess, and they're depriving their children of a reasonable education. They're keeping their kids as dumb as they are. Okay, their kids aren't going to be scientists. They're not going to be educated. They're not going to be elegant thinkers. They're not going to be philosophers. They're not going to be any of that shit. Okay, they're going to be fucking fucktards watching whatever, Family Guy.
Or sentient life, or whatever. But that's okay. I do have the residual doubt that the button would have been quicker. But if they want to do it slowly and more painfully, then fine by me. I
don't even understand how that even makes sense. If they want to do it slowly and more painfully, that's okay with me. I don't even understand how you could say that. Failure's okay with me. Wasted suffering is fine with me. I mean, the fact that when you have to accept it by necessity, that's bad. But to accept it when you don't have to, when there's no necessity to accept it, why would you accept doing it the hard way when you can do it the easy way? That's always a bad idea when we're talking about hard and easy being real torture. You can do it with less torture. You're saying it doesn't matter to me whether it's less torture or not. I mean, that doesn't make any sense.
Yes. Not pressing the button, even if everyone would like it to happen, indicates a clearly pronatalist mindset.
Well, I don't even get how it's even on the subject. Of solutions or wanting to get to an end. I mean, the end is, I mean, you can't, the only reason why you're antinatalist is to get to the end, which is no more babies, no more tortured people. So antinatalism forever? Is that the theory? Oh, I'm a antinatalist perpetualist. That is, we antinatal forever, somehow. Whatever that would be. However you create that nonsense.
The question is why? Why wouldn't you? And at least on the level of ethical principles, the answer is likely to be that life is sacred or has value or meaning that trumps...
Well, yeah, whatever. So all that stuff we know is mush. So this is the whole intellectual argument. Nobody who has a rationally functioning brain that does logic and collects facts and does logic on the facts can possibly defend faith, all right? It's just bullshit, okay? Old archaic fish stories, you know, about reality, okay? That there was gods and burning bushes and all kinds of miracles happened and blah, 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 blah. So only somebody irrational says that trumps reason. That trumps the theory of evolution, that silly story about some sky daddy bullshit, somehow the Holy Ghost existing. And the Holy Ghost is a strong enough faith-based notion that it trumps evolution. Fuck you.
Compassion and respect for autonomy. Applied to reproduction, this translates into having children to produce more valuable lives and prompting others to have them as well, whatever their initial preferences. The reason for not pressing could...
I don't even know what that sentence was. I have no idea. Obviously, we, you know, again, the intelligent dissection of procreation is people of limited intelligence have to play simple games. So because they can't do more complicated modeling, and they can't do the Rubik's Cube, and they have to play tic-tac-toe, and tic-tac-toe is, what does my uterus say? You know, I mean, they can't do anything challenging, so they have to play the simplest game in the world, which is, yeah, I'll just sit here and eat and poo, and then I'll fuck and have babies, because I can't do anything more complicated than the crudest impulses I have.
Could, of course, also be that you just can't bring yourself to doing it, but then you probably can't be a consistent antinatalist either, because that path would eventually end the at least human life.
All right, so I didn't get any of that, really. I couldn't really understand what his point is. So this is where this philosophy crap, just it's all jargon. I can't make any sense out of it. So we'll try that again.
Then you probably can't be a consistent antinatalist either, because that path would eventually end the at least human life. Finally, if you would press the button, even without universal consent...
I'd press it without universal consent. I'd press it if it was a 90% majority. I'd like it to be a 90% majority. I'd like it to be a 99% majority. But I'll go all the way down to a 1% majority. I'll go all the way down to me having the responsibility in my hand. I'm on the lifeboat. There's 40 people on the lifeboat. It's chaos. I have a gun. Am I going to do the right thing, or am I going to just throw the gun on the floor and say, let the lifeboat decide? Am I going to use my intelligence, or am I just going to throw my intelligence, just throw the gun in the ocean, just say, fuck it. I'm not going to apply. Nobody gets to drive, so we don't go anywhere. So the people who wanted to sink the boat, maybe there's two people on the boat who just want to sink it, they win. Yeah, but that's what's going to happen. Because intelligence won't be applied and failure will be assured. I'm saying I'm not stupid enough to throw the gun in the ocean.
That would mean that you place compassion above respect for autonomy and other values.
I put torture over any sense, okay, that people have a right to torture. I don't believe people have a right to torture. I would shoot a child molester, okay? If he's sitting there just ready to kill a kid, I'm going to kill him, right? So don't tell me I'm on some kind of ambiguous philosophical position that doesn't have any real merit. No, the idea of rescuing victims has real hard merit. We have a right to rescue victims. We had a right to kill people to save the Jews. We had a right, okay, in the Civil War to stop the destruction of a nation, and to rescue people from literal slavery.
Interestingly, this does not necessarily make you an antinatalist, though. Ending all suffering just like that with a touch of a button is one thing. Seeing humankind or sentient life dragged to a slow end by stopping reproduction is quite another, especially when the result is highly uncertain.
I don't even understand that. So you're conceding the argument that the slow way has all kinds of uncertainty in it, and it's failure and all of these obstacles to overcome. It's so difficult to do this political thing. Getting on 100% consensus, can you imagine how difficult it would be to acquire a 100% consensus? Yeah, that sounds like the road to complete and utter failure. If you waited to go into World War II until every single American said, yes, go to war, you would be still waiting.
Not necessarily make you an antinatalist, though. Ending all suffering just like that with a touch of a button is one thing. Seeing humankind or sentient life dragged to a slow end by stopping reproduction is quite another, especially when the result is highly uncertain.
So I don't know what that means. So he's conceding the argument that the slow way is uncertain, the fast way is certain, and it's really inexpensive. There's really no residue. I mean, everybody, everything's stopping this fast. All the brains stopping this fast. Going to sleep. Let's just say they go to sleep. They're frozen. Okay, it's a freeze button. It just freezes everything. Again, how can you calculate the harm of being frozen?
A compassionate person might be an extinctionist in principle without having to be an antinatalist in practice.
So you can be an extinctionist without being an antinatalist, because extinctionist would mean you think you can get to being an... You think you can actually get to making the human race extinct by having 9 billion people vote on it. No, the way you're going to win is to get down to 10 people and have them vote on it, because you have a real chance then. Because the 10 people left are probably going to be really smart. They didn't grow up on a garbage dump, okay? You know, those last 10 people are going to be, you know, they all have a million houses. You know, they all own whole countries. You know, they're going to be a lot easier to have a conversation with than 9 billion imbeciles.
So the question was, do your reactions to the big red button thought experiment tell something about your antinatalism?
It should tell something about your understanding of philosophical dead ends, the trolley problem. These are places where there is no good answer, okay, in the sense that it doesn't, you can't make it into this construct. It can't fit in the social construct. And it can only fit in some definite black and white understanding of, well, this. It's, there's no more if there's a God. No, well, there isn't that anymore. You take away all the if bullshit and you just get back to the simple argument that, is there any good reason to think the torture is worth it? Can I come up with some kind of thing that is worth one kid with cancer? Is there some sort of thing I can say is worth giving a kid cancer for? Anything at all. I mean, any proposed thing. Is there anything I can possibly propose that I could argue, yeah, I'm willing to give the kid cancer for that? The only thing I can give the kid cancer for is to stop billions of people from having cancer in the future. That's the only thing I can torture something for, is to prevent more torture. The only thing I can impose harm to do is to prevent bigger harms.
And with what I've shown here, I think that it's safe to say yes, they do tell us something about your antinatalism. At least
antinatalism, blah, blah, blah. So again, what is antinatalism? What is it? What's its purpose? What's its function? So there's just no point in people calling themselves antinatalists and saying, well, I'm an ethelist, or an ethel antinatalist. These are useless. It's a useless, imprecise language that just doesn't say anything. I mean, are you antinatalist because you think humans actually are more harmful to sentient life on planet Earth than nature is? Do you really believe that? Then you're too fucking stupid.
The thing that I just said. QED.
Whatever. I just, you know, I don't like academics. I don't like this being played with by philosophers. It's like Sam Harris was a good example, right? Because he's got all this, you know, this highly technical philosophical capacity. He can make very precise arguments, but when he was challenged by this simple truth, he couldn't, he reverted to being a silly fucktard. I had kids because I wanted them. He didn't have any better answer. You know, I thought it was a good idea. Why? Why did you think so? They're not going to have free will. They're just going to be robots constructed by an environment. You're not going to control the environment, so who knows what they're going to be constructed into? I mean, it's a joke. You know, because there's people aren't philosophically rigorous. They can't point their philosophical gun at their own fucking bullshit. and recognize how much of it is bullshit. I guess, I've talked about this before, but I mean, I think that's just one of the things I thought was a key insight of intelligent people was introspection. That most of the intelligent people in the world, you know, most of the people witty or that constructed these arguments, they had seen the ugly shithead that's inside them. They've seen their own Dorian Gray portrait. And they've recognized that even when a person's trying to be good, they suck. You know, and then that that corruption exists everywhere, and that, you know, anything you're rooting for, you always have to examine, why am I rooting for it? You know, it's so obvious, and just even, look, I have the, you know, cats and stuff. I have preferential creatures in the world that I find aesthetically and mechanically superior, are interesting, are even comforting in some weird way. And other animals are just overtly gross, okay? And I already know that bias exists, okay? That rats aren't any, the little brain inside the rat isn't different than the brain inside a gerbil or a guinea pig or a rabbit or some other, you know, and I can't be playing this game that it matters what shape, you know, what kind of skin the brain is wearing. You can see all of these little biases. And in my opinion, these philosophers have just failed to recognize that their agenda is completely corrupt because they haven't done enough of this introspection to realize what I, you know, what they're rooting for is bullshit. Because they're rooting for themselves, really. I mean, you know, it's a lot of just playing games with ego kind of position, you know, authority, being an authority, you know, having a badge. Yeah. I have a badge. I'm official. Yeah. Whatever. I'm really disappointed in Benatar, and I don't really expect other people to be much better than that, and they frankly aren't, and so that's the disappointment, that I had this connection between intelligence and reasoning, and I have to accept that you can't do it with a bad foundation. So that's what, again, we're just going to keep arguing these foundational statements. And if you don't have these right, then everything you build is going to be Eiffel Tower crooked. And that's the real problem. There's just way too much bullshit still underlying what people think they're doing here on Earth. You know, they don't think they have free will, but they think they did create themselves. You know, that kind of thing. Enough of a video. So anyway, it's unpleasant because I really don't want to argue with people that are in many ways on the right side, but it's for the wrong reason, you know, in my opinion. And so I got to make these counter arguments just to point out that I don't agree that Benatar's argument is too complicated, and the other critiques they have of arguments related to imposition and consent. Consent isn't a complicated problem. It doesn't have anything to do with identity. Obviously, you can't get consent from people in the future. Obviously, you can't get consent from a fetus. But that's the whole point. You can't get the consent, and you have to have it. It's not an out to say, oh, I can't get it. My neighbors aren't home, so I can't ask them if it's okay if I, you know, use their money in Las Vegas because they're not home. So I'll just assume they would want me to go gamble with their money because I'm going to win. I'm sure of it. You can't use this argument that because you can't get consent means you don't need consent. And, you know, that's not that complicated, frankly. You know, and when people start to pervert the asymmetry argument by talking about how the future people don't exist, therefore they don't have any interest to be protected, when of course they would exist if you allow time to do its thing. They're just as real as we are. The people in the past were just as real as we are, and the people in the future will be just as real as we are. It's just nonsense to say they're not real, okay, because they don't exist now. They were just as real. All right. Their torture was just as real. Their experiences were just as real. Yeah. Okay, so till the next time and such and so forth and whatnot.